Dear Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you. Thank you for the good word of God that never fails. Thank you that we can trust you, believe you, hold on to your word. And we gather this evening, trusting you to speak to us. Those of us on ground, those of us online. Lord, we bless you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We ask that you, at the end of today, we will have learned how to walk better with you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we pray for peace for our nation. We pray for peace for our land. We pray for peace for our state and for our city. Thank you for this city. Thank you for the peace that we enjoy in Jesus' name. Let's start like this. It's not in flame. Everything has been calmed down. And why won't they get that kind of a thing? When you owe people's money, you don't release it. You're going to have problems. I don't care who you are. You know, so that's it. I said something like that on Sunday. If you ever going to go and listen to my service on Sunday, I said something like this. And that's what will happen. So let's get into the word of God. If you're at home watching online, fine for you. We are safe. All right? All right. Let's get to your Bible, chapter 5, Galatians, verse 1. Let's do it. So follow us online if you are at home. Praise God. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. This is our verse. No. Go back. Verse 1. Thank you. It says, stand fast. Give us an NLT. NLT. Okay. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. We started talking last Tuesday about three things we should be free from. Remember? Christ redeemed us, freed us, and I talked about three things he freed us from. And I can already get in here. Nice to have you around. Okay. Around this area, that's where we are around. Those of us who are far, kept away. So we said number one last week. What's the first one? Who can remember? From fear. All right. And we said also, let's look at that one again. Freedom from fear. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Okay. Romans 8, 14. Okay. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Next verse. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So we said last week that the first thing a child of God should be free from is from fear, because you are not given the spirit of fear when you got born again. You are given the spirit of adoption, of sonship. And from there you can cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. And so, wherever we find ourselves, we must remember that we are not given to fear, we are given to God. Hallelujah. Say that with me. I'm not given to fear, I'm given to God. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Maybe let me try and use this, if this will do. Can I? Gladly there. Okay. All right. Good. All right. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. It said, and for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Isn't that so beautiful in a time like this to not be afraid? You know, it's very easy to start taking your phone and start sharing what's happening everywhere and spread the fear, you know. And it's easier to talk about it. My trouble with that is that you start infecting yourself and infecting others. I'm not saying you should not spread the news, but you're not the newscaster, news reporter. So let's not trade in fear. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Usually when anything goes up that is chaotic, it's going to calm down. Jesus said that. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verse 35. Talking about fear. Okay. Isn't that so beautiful to be talking like this around this time? Beautiful. Look at verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, that's Jesus, let us what? Cross over to the other side. Next verse, let's keep reading. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Let's keep reading. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Next verse. But it was in the stern. What? I'm not hearing your voice. What do you say? Best time to sleep? Not really. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Next verse. Then he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased. There was a great calm. Next verse. Now this is where I'm going. He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful?" So one of the hardest ways to control fear is when you are in the midst of disaster or calamity. And they were in the midst of calamity. When professional fishermen get afraid at storm, rest of us will just pass out. Am I right? These are professional fishermen. They've seen all kinds of storm before. But looking at this, they were so scared. And Jesus said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Who was Jesus having faith in? In his Father. That his Father could take him. Remember, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power, of love, and of sound mind. And his Father, he has the spirit of his Father in him. So we dealt with that very well last week. But let me spend some time today talking about spirit of freedom from failure. I touched it last week a little bit. Let's talk about freedom from failure. What is failure? Not arriving at your destination. Not obtaining your goal. Are we here? Or lack of fulfillment. Now, today, let's really work on this area. Many of us, when we talked about failure, we don't see failure the way it should be seen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Things fail. Policies fail. Government fail. People fail. Individual fails. Businesses fail. But look at this. Love never fails. Or let's say it like this. Love never knows failure. Say that with me. Love, I'm not hearing your voice. Love never knows failure. That means that, wait. I like to say it like this. When love is present and failure is there, even failure will fail. Hallelujah. Did you get what I just said? Did you get what I just said? I mean, when failure fails, you have success. Make some sense? That means that I'm going to outlast failure. I'm going to stand against failure. So there must be this freedom from failure. As a child of God, I need to treasure. Beside failure, I talk about fear first. Fear is the biggest one. Last week, I talked about fear is the policeman of the devil that brings the arrest warrant. I said fear is also what? The siren of the devil. For instance, you know, when these policemen are coming, did you see them? You know, they come with a wham, 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 everybody starts scattering. Huh? But they register their presence. So Satan also registers his presence by fear. Hallelujah. That's sometimes why we tell lies. Hello? Fear is behind sometimes. Like now, Abraham said, "Sarah, we are going to Egypt. But they likely will kill me there. So, for because of you, because you are beautiful. So, tell them, you are my sister." So, sometimes, okay. Remember, Peter, when they asked him, "Do you know Jesus? Are you one of them?" What did he say? No. Why? It was the fear of being discovered as one of them and he will fail. So, let's talk about failure today. How do I handle failure? He said, love never fails. If you are walking in, thank you for coming. There was a riot in the city over Naira policy that is failing. And was bound to fail, actually. I told my wife, and I said it on Sunday here. If you are not there when I said it. You know, there is a limit where you can push people. I'll talk about it today. I don't know why. Sometimes when I do things, I wonder why it just fits at that particular season. We're going to analyze failure today, why things fail, and then how to be free from failure. Praise God. Praise God. This will reduce your failure rate. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. So freedom from, we are not bound to fail. Hallelujah. Because our Father is God who is love. And remember, love never fails. Hallelujah. So if I walk in love, and love never fails, I can actually get to a place where I don't have to fail. And even when I fail, I can make my failure fail. Did you get what I just said? Did you get what I just said? Oh. That's powerful. You need to learn that. How to make, when you fail, how to make your failure fail. Because if the failure fails, you arrive at the place of success. Okay? One of the things that, I'm going to say it again one more time. Sometimes we are so scared of failure that we don't want to meet it by face. Jesus made death to fail. Am I right? Am I correct? In the life of Jesus, death failed. He rose on the third day. Am I making some sense? And so we must learn to have that kind of spirit that we are going to outlast failure. Like I know a brother in church who did an exam 7 times. Finally, he failed. Or 6 times. Finally, he passed. He outlasted the failure. He never gave up. By the way, God seemed to fail in the Garden of Eden. Am I right? God seemed to fail. He put a couple there and he messed up. God made the failure to fail. He sent Jesus and beat it hands down. Clap your hands for the Father God. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the things we must learn to do is not to let the shame of failure hold us back. And that's why I'm talking about freedom. Because, see, failure has tentacles to hold us and to make us feel ashamed and never really want to get up again. But Bible says, the righteous man falls 7 times. What does he do? He gets up again. Why? Because he's free from failure. Failure cannot hold him down. I say hallelujah, somebody. Let's now spend some time and understand how to do this well. Because when I'm talking like this, it sounds good until we face failure. Let's go to John 8:31. Glory to Jesus. Okay. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide where? In my word. You are my disciples, what? Now, can I have Living Bible? Is it possible? Balloon is there. All right. Let's look at Living Bible. Then we'll look at other Bibles. Let's look at Living Bible. Oh. Look at this verse. He said to them, you are truly my disciples if you what? If you live as I tell you to. That makes it better than just saying, if you continue my word. If you live as I tell you to. Jesus wants you to live in a kind of way. His teachings were not just theory. They were not philosophy to think about. They were words to live by. So let's look at next verse quickly. Let's go. Next verse. What did he say? And you will know the truth if you are living the way I want you to live. Right? In that living the way I want you to live, you will know the truth. And what happened? What will happen? Now, you know what? Usually, don't forget this. That's somewhere in your mind. Failure actually is a failure of truth. When truth is not there, that's why we fail. When I fail in an exam, I don't have the truth. I might have written a lot down on the ground, but it may not be the reality they expect me from exam hall. Am I right? Am I here? Are you hearing me? Thank you. So when we say failure sometimes, it's actually inadequacy of the truth. When a marriage fails, it's an inadequacy of truth. When a business fails, inadequacy of truth. Because let me give you an example. You want to supply these goods. People are not buying it. Either there's an inadequacy of truth of what you are doing, of what you are thinking about them. So a lot of time, we need to really examine things before we blame things. Because the truth is what will make us free. Hallelujah. I know you are feeling tired already, thinking, Pastor, you're just making it more difficult for me that, you know, things just happen. Like now, in this country now, things are difficult. But you don't have to fail. You may not get the best of the best, but you don't have to fail. For instance, somebody was given 2 talents, somebody was given 5 talents. The 2 talents multiplied double, like 5 talents multiplied double too. Am I correct? And they were given the same commendation. Why? It's not how much you have, it's what you do with what you have. That's what I'm talking about, failure today. So let's look about failure in total. What is failure? Failure is simply what they call in Yoruba, ejakule. That means you didn't get to that point you wanted to get to. And it's very easy to say it's just the devil or it's an attack. But you have to have this within you that failure does not have a hold on you. When I say you are free from something, I mean that that thing has no control over you. Hallelujah. You see, a lot of time when we fail in life, in any endeavor, the next thing we do is to write ourselves off and say, you know, you are not good. This won't happen to you. You can't go further. No, 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 no. You are free from failure. You are outside its control. That means you can take it and lay it aside and then do something about it. Oh, I've learned to do that over the years. God has really helped me. God has really helped me in this area. Because some of us over here, we're not that so enduring and persistent. I'm not that kind of person. I don't like trouble. I like to walk away from things. But over the years, I've been taught to know that there's a truth lacking. And that truth, if I can get hold of it, that failure cannot hold me again. Whether my prayer life, my financial life, my family life, if I can find the truth will set me free. Praise God, somebody. So learning the truth about your life, about the issues at hand, makes all the difference in the world. Hallelujah. Are we here? Okay, we are coming one by one. Maybe the riot has stopped in your areas. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go a step further. Now, when you look at something failing, usually 3 things are involved in anything you are doing. Write it down for me. 3 things are involved in everything you are doing. Number one, the starting point. Number two, the doing of it, the doing. What you want to do, the doing of it. For instance, now you want to go to school, starting point, you enter, get admission. Number two, there is the doing part, going through the process, writing the exam, working at it, going to the work, making it happen. You want to travel, do some things about it, the process. Let's call that one the process. That's the doing. Then finally, is what you get out of it at the end, what we call the product. But even you may get what you are after and still be a failure if the purpose of what you have gotten does not get realized in your life. That's too complicated, Abby. Let me give an example. Imagine I wanted to get this paper. And why do I want to get this paper? I want to get it so that I can hold it and it will never bend. It will just be solid. But this paper by itself is not that solid. It bends. Am I right? I can go all the way, get this paper, have it in my hand. And finally, after I've gotten it, I came to realize it will be bending. So even all my effort succeeded in not getting my purpose fulfilled. Okay, let's make it practical. I want to get married. And I want to find somebody that will just carry me. And then you find somebody and they cannot carry you. Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor, I want that job. And then you did everything. You got the job. You settled down. And then the pay cannot match up. You succeeded, but the purpose that you are after to get that job for is not being fulfilled. Am I making some sense? All right. So there's the starting point. There is the process that I'm going through. And I can walk out through with it. And there is the last one, which is the product. But the failure can also come, let's call that one, maybe number 4, the purpose that actually you are really after. For instance, Ask somebody, oh, pastor, I want to play football. Why? So I can be famous. So I can be famous. Like mercy or faithfulness. You know, I will be famous like Messi or like Ronaldo. Now, you see, you want to take football path to fame. But who said that you become as famous as Messi by going through football? So you may even have done well in football and may not be that famous. So your purpose of going to football, though you have played well, seemed to succeed, you didn't arrive there. Do we get that? Sometimes we do that too. I want to get that to impress people. And nobody seems to be impressed after you have gotten it. So the whole purpose of getting the thing has never really arrived there. Am I making some sense? So all these are the things that we account for failure in our life. So let's spend some time talking about freedom from failure. Now let's get some Jesus principles to start with. Let's start with Jesus principle first. If you don't want to fail, if you don't want to fail, there are certain principles you need to have. Let's look at three of them. If you want to be free, you want to have freedom from failure, you have to come to Jesus who never fails. Amen. Jesus never fails. Sing with me. Amen. Jesus never fails. Amen. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Sing with me. Jesus never fails. How? How long? Forevermore. Thank you. So if you are going to find out how to not fail, who should you go to? Elon Musk. He just lost all a billion. He says the fastest loss of investment in human race. Huh? So, was the pastor? 200 million naira? Million? No, 200 billion. Huh? So here we are. Let's find out from Jesus his principles of how not to fail. He gave us. Let's go. Take your Bible. Matthew 7. Freedom from. He said, if you continue, if you live the way I want you to, you know the truth, and the truth will do what? I don't know about you. Over the years, I was tired of failing. I was what? I was tired of failing. I was tired of failing. So I just came to the point, I said, look here, I'm no longer in this thing because I like it. I want to succeed. I'm not going anything. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to start going one way and find out it was the wrong direction. I don't want to spend my life like that anymore. Hello? Some of you like it. I don't want to take a motorbike or power bike, fill it with the fuel, claim I'm going to Lagos and I face Ilorin. Then I get to Bomosho, I start wondering what has happened to God and to me. I don't like that. I used to like it when I was younger. As I grow older, I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to go one way and turn back and find out I was wrong. Like New Naira Notes. And be reverting and reverting all the time. That's not the way to live. It spells lack of credibility in one's life. If you don't know how to do that and then face your life well, people won't believe you. The family won't believe you. Your husband won't believe you. Your wife won't believe you. Your children will not doubt you. Because if you keep, you know, reverting and reverting like that, at the end of the day, we want to keep things with you. We want to put things of our life in your hand. I mean, you said we should go and we fail. We should go again and we fail. And we go again. Next time, before I go, I'll open my eyes and say, Ewa, Ejeka Wodada. So, let's look at Jesus who never fails. There are three things that he told us in Matthew 7. And I want you to really look at it. Number one, let me give you this background first. If you are going to really avoid failure, I'm giving you this one as a precondition before the three. You must focus on this. Verse 20, Matthew 7, verse 20. Therefore, by their fruit, you will know them. You must be after fruit. You must be, you see, you don't plant a tree for planting sake. Am I right? You don't go open a farm just because you want to waste time and let rabbits eat things up. Am I right? You don't buy chicken to raise them so that they can just kind of scatter around. No, you got a purpose in mind. You after fruit. Say, by their fruit, you know them. You must know the fruit you are definitely after. What am I going to school for? What am I marrying for? Where am I taking my life to? What's going to happen to me over there? We just can't follow whatever the fruit. That's how to always speak anyone. I want to deceive you. What is the fruit here? What's the tangible result I'm after here? For instance, if I want rain, I don't want to go to dry season to ask for rain. That changes my course already. If they say dry season here, rainy season here, and I want rain and I want water, where do I go? Rainy season now. But if I want heat, I will go to dry season. See, fruit matters most. By their fruit, you will know them. Not by their flower. Flower is what you do with on the tree that's kind of bloom, 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 bloom. Let me give an example. There was this young man who his father was a big businessman. And the father, he was doing well, the father. And I said, Daddy, I want to start my own business. So he stepped out. Are we here? He stepped out to start business. And then after 3 months, the father called him. The father said, hey, boy, how's my business? Oh, he said, we have rented an office. Daddy said, son, I said, how is business? He said, Daddy, you know, I just finished making my business card. And we're already arranging the furniture. Daddy said, I said, how is business? You see, by their fruit, that's not fruit. That is not fruit. Making business card is not fruit. Renting an office is not fruit. No, fruit is the sales you make, the money you get. Are we here? Our culture is very clear. Before all the Oyibos came, they marry for children. Am I right? Our culture. They marry for kids. So when they get you, they marry you. You don't get belle, they get a second wife, third wife, right? That's why they marry. In fact, when they finish like this, for marriage, Osumeson, have you heard that before? But is that what we marry for today? Some of us, we are confused in that area. You see, we are really confused. You want children, you don't want children.
I'm just tired. I'm really uncomfortable.
I thought you wanted them.
No.
Huh? Something happened last Sunday. People started laughing. I said, do you know what? I want you to come to church. I know the fruit of this church. The fruit of this church is not branches. It's not opening things and making noise and getting on TV. The fruit of this church is you. You are our branches. Christ says to himself, I'm divine. You are the branches. It is a church. He said, you are the branches. So I focus on that you prosper, you do well. That is the focus here. The focus of a secondary school or primary school is not the building. It's not building. It's not chalk. The focus of the school is to produce wonderful, brilliant, successful students. Am I right? Whether you are staying under the shade or under aircon. How many of you went to aircon school? How many of you went to aircon school? I don't have a certificate. You are, I don't know. The day I was secondary school, I woke up to see that what matters most in secondary school is WAEC. The only thing I can show after leaving secondary school is WAEC. Everything else is secondary. The day I saw that one, everything changed. Everything changed. Whether I dance in the Oma Bile Kenekon, whether I join literary Kenekon, it doesn't matter. When I finish secondary school, what WAEC will recognize is what? You pass. And then that's what we take university. Testimonial never help anyone enter university. Am I right? So by their fruit, you know them. You must know the fruit. If you want to be free from failure, I said the precondition is this. By their fruit, you know them. You must know the fruit of what you are after. If you don't have a fruit, you are wasting your time. Why do I plant a tree? Why do I do all that? I have a fruit. I have something focused that I'm going after so that if I get tired, if I get challenged, I know what I'm going after. Freedom in Christ means freedom from failure. And to be free from failure, you must know the truth. And we said, number one, the precondition of Jesus that by their fruit you will know them. Take a look. Verse 18. All right. Okay, verse 17. Let's make it from verse 17. Take a look. He said, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, But a bad tree bears bad fruit. Or bad fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. Next verse. What do you say? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A good idea can never fail, can never turn out well. A bad idea can work, like CBN stuff. It can work. That's why you can't. Okay, see, people don't work on their what they start with. If you get something wrong, you start with it. You can't make it work. In my younger days, I spent more time trying to create kind of an idea, and I get in trouble. If you say a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. If it's bearing bad fruit, something's wrong with that tree. It's not good. And can a bad tree bear good fruit? Was the pastor in the case of CBN today? So other places too in our land. You know, some people like that, I just look at them and say, this won't work. It can't work. I won't say anything. But, I mean, you can see it now. It's darkness. It can't produce light. Huh? Some people, when they marry like this, already envisage trouble. And when they start saying they want perfect out of it, you can't get perfect. It's already, you have to learn how to work with it. God himself work with us. Am I right? God never said, this human being, why are they messing up? He knows that we messed up from the beginning, that affected our genetic makeup, so you have to work with us. Is that all right? Okay, let's go. A good tree cannot, let's look at it, by the next verse, by their fruits. Next verse. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown to the fire. You must have this mentality of whatever is not good, that's not bearing fruit, what do you do? You jack it down. You should not marry it. You should not go on with it. You should not love it. If it doesn't work, drop it. You are going to Lagos. You see a car, aircon, everything, going to Ekiti. What should you do? Enter there. Where are you going? You don't marry comfort first. You know we are going somewhere. Like one woman, you know, she was at the airport. She just said, Ewole, she's paid. She just took a ticket. Enter, said, the emergency room, enter. They rush there. They go to the air. They said, welcome to Port Harcourt Bind. He said, I'm going to Abuja. Sorry, there's no bus stop in the air. You go down there first before you go another way. See, Scotland turned to the fire. Okay, let me now give you three failure-proof things from Jesus. If you take these three things from Jesus, you will hardly fail. If you apply it continuously and consistently. Let's go. Let's go and see them. Number one. Are we ready? Verse 13, Matthew 7. We're looking at three things we need to do. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Next verse. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. So, number one, please listen to this. If you want to avoid failure, find the difficult way to start with. Find the narrow way. Don't join. Crowd will never take you to success. Anything you find people rushing into, it gets nowhere. Anywhere, people in large number, every going that way. Even just by their sheer presence, the thing is becoming scarce already. I remember those days when we want to buy shares. When they say one share, everybody buying it now. That thing is going down across the world because the share number is bringing it down. He said, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. If you want to succeed, don't go for the easiest popular way. They don't actually last. So if you want to avoid failure, don't start with failure first. Failure starts with adopting and imbibing what people are doing, what your tribe is doing, what your colleagues are doing. That is already putting you at the risk of failing. Look at verse before this verse. What did he say? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad that leads to where? And there are many So over the years, I've come to see where I see crowd, I try to get away from there. Let me give an example. This one, don't get mad at me. When you go to housing, houses are sparse, bigger compound. You go to Etoku, it's all jammed up. Correct? There are more there than there. And Banana Island, you've been there before? It's much more sparse. So the fewer, if you look at resort in school, A's are usually few number. Around C and D and E and Ibenama Poju Siju. That was true. So if you are looking for A plus, if you want to pass, if you want to do well, if you want to be free from failure, don't start where everybody is plenty. Or don't start with the easy way. The way of Jesus is like this. It gets hard at the beginning and gets easier as you go on. But the other way is easier and gets more difficult as it goes on. That's why I look at my life. Where do I want to spend my future? Is it in the easy or the more difficult? Because if I start easy, it will get difficult. If I start difficult and narrow, it will get easier. Oh, same thing we do for exam. If you sit for an exam and you are not serious, you will come out with a result that will make your future more difficult. Am I correct? But if you narrow yourself and get down and do all the work and get pushed through, when that time comes, you get high grade, you'll be available to go and work in any kind of place around the world. Am I making some sense? So, number one, if you are going to be free from failure, don't start with the crowd. Don't start with the many. Don't start with the easy and broad, wide road. Okay. Are we, you got that? Freedom from failure starts from freedom from the crowd and many and easy. Hallelujah. That's the first one, freedom from failure. Let's look at the second one. I love this one. Verse 15, beautiful. I said I will give you three things from Jesus if you don't want to fail in life. Number one, I told you, the first condition is go after fruit. But number one, don't go for the easy and the crowd. Anything you are starting, ask yourself, what does it take for this and what does it demand from me? Nothing good is actually without a cost. Second one is beware of false prophets. Let me explain that. I get to meet somebody with long beard and take. Let's go to Message Bible. Jesus put these ones there. Be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they are out to rip you off some way or the other. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Now, Pastor, what is this? Now, if you don't want to fail, don't start with people who talk about what you want to do without having real knowledge about it. They are carrying false information. That's why, do you notice in our country, or in particular in Africa, people don't tell about what they are doing. That's one of the reasons it happens. Not because they are looking at witches. If they want to travel now, they will not even tell pastor. So when it's about to travel next week, you say, Pastor, I want to come and see you. Ekpele, how are you? I'm leaving next week. It doesn't bother me. I know that's the kind of culture we live in. But woe betide you if you're about to travel and you don't have correct information for what you're going to go and do. You must meet right people. You may not meet a pastor, but you must get the right information. If you fall to the hand of false prophet pushing wrong agenda for you, you're going to suffer so much in your life. It's like somebody who wants to marry somebody. You meet a matchmaker who tells you false information about that girl or that boy. You're going to have to suffer years later. So you need to have what I call good prophet, what you are doing. Good prophet don't falsify information just to secure you to enter. Am I correct here? So number one, if you don't want to fail, don't start with the crowd and easy. Do the hard work of finding out. And second, please find people. If you are going to Lagos and somebody is coming from Lagos, your future is their past. But if you are going to Lagos, somebody is coming from Ekiti, your future is not in their past. Oh, but I've seen guys who have gone abroad. They got the right information. They know what they are after. They step on the land. They start running. My wife was telling me about a pastor, one of her friends, that came on the air. Those who are listening online abroad, this will help you. He said he came on the air. One of my friends, if I mention his name, some of you know him. And he said they have churches, I think, abroad. And he said he told his pastors abroad, Wombo, some are coming that they are coming deceived. He said they will get abroad and they think that they're going to be picking money on the road. Huh? Let me tell you, somebody was here to see us sometimes ago, came from one of the Western world countries. And he said, I was telling my friend, don't do that yet. Do it like this. You want to come abroad? He said, do this. He didn't listen. He said, now he's landed. I'm the one giving him money. So anything you are going to do, look, going abroad or going above or going anywhere, get the right information. If you are going to die, you better hear the right person of what happened after death. That's the truth of the matter. That's why you should listen to Jesus. He died, he rose again, and he said, my father's house, there are many mansions. Don't give me here. Somebody who said, I died, and I saw Jesus and Muhammad together, and they were eating amala together. They don't have to take you anywhere. You can't base your life on these guys who practice their talk and they are very motivational and motivating nothing. One of my guests, nothing push her up. She see people on the TV come on YouTube and say, I have 3 million followers and I'm doing this. And my daughter will say, the father gave him the money. He never got the money himself. There's another guy in Abuja that was a kidnapper. Did you hear about him? He come around. Motivate people. Yeah, it's going to happen. Pa, pa, pa. You just hustle. You give all those lectures. And right there, it was kidnapping people and finally picked up with him. See, people can talk the talk, but they never walk the walk. So if you are going to do anything, succeed in it, ask somebody who can give you the right information. Don't go for false information giver, false prophet. Hallelujah. Let me give you one example. Anybody you are talking to about something you want to do and only paint it rosy, you are on the way to trouble. If it does not expose you to what is hard and how to handle and tackle it, just imagine, you want to play number 10. Your desire, ambition is to play number 10. And then you meet this guy who tells you that, don't worry about anybody, don't worry about defender. Just take the ball straight to the goal. You're going to be all right. That's called offside many times. So it's going to tell you about how to tackle. Do you know what? Pele became one of the greatest on earth, if not probably the greatest footballer on earth. You know what? His best teacher was injured and put out of football career. His own father. His own father was a great football player and they broke his leg. So he had to withdraw from football, active football, became a coach, and he took his boy and he took Pele and walked on Pele and said, Pele, whatever cost you, keep your leg. They're going to come after it. That's a person who has a scar for a star. So just to hear something rosy, something, you know, you tell somebody you want to get married, he will tell you, okay, you want to marry somebody, first of all, take them to Italy. See, I'm a gel, the cagbon. You smell. It's not his own smell. It's perfume that's smelling. Huh? All seem wrong. Can you imagine? Rebecca never knew who was going to marry her. She was sweating away, pouring water and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And the man was there watching her. Get the right information. It matters most in life. You shall know the truth. Not knowing the truth, put to the hands of a false prophet, makes life difficult for one. So if you want to be free from failure, start right. Amen, somebody. Okay, number one, I said, get to find where it is. This is the first, okay, find a narrow way before false information. Next one, let's go to Matthew 7. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 24. Matthew 7, guys, thank you. This word I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. Message Bible. Homeowner improvement to your standard of living. They are foundational words. Words to build a life on. Listen, if you walk these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Give us an NKJV or NLT. NLT, thank you. All right, NLT. Thank you, I'm waiting for NLT. If anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who built a house where? Next verse. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat out, it won't collapse. Now, please, anything you are going to do that you are not going to fail in, already assume it's going to be tough and build accordingly. That's why I always stick to Jesus. Anything I want to do, listen to this. Anything I want to do, you may think I'm crazy. Anything, I must have it attached to Jesus. If it's not attached to Jesus, I'm through. It won't last. I must have a connect between what I'm doing and the rock. Any house that's not built on something solid, it can't withstand the test of time. Are we here, everybody? Am I making some sense? I don't read the Bible like a pastor. I read the Bible looking for what I'm going to do with it. I read like a mad person. If you read my Bible, I'm connecting, I'm learning, I'm seeing. When I read my Bible, I'm stopping and I'm looking right into the horizon. I'm asking myself, how do I do that right? Am I going to get that? What did Jesus say about that one? How do I? That's what, my Bible reading, that's what I do all the time. I don't read my Bible like this. In fact, you know the way I get my message? I'm reading like that, say something, I just hear, do that for next Sunday. Do that for next month. Just that's why I do it. Why? Because I came to see that Jesus' words are foundational words. I don't trust any words of any apostle, any prophet, any evangelist, any pope. I trust the words of Jesus first. Because in my few years as a Christian, I've seen apostle, G.O., prophet fail. I've watched the work of their hands, and they are not perfect, they are not God. Only one person didn't fail in the Bible. His name is Jesus. Clap your hands for him. Everybody else failed. Moses failed to arrive in promised land. Are you hearing me? Only one person didn't fail, and his name is Jesus, and he's your Lord, and he's inside of you. Good news of all good news. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, I've given you three things now. The foundational roots of not failing. First, don't go the easy way. Second, now, I can even show you that even if you fail in doing all this, there's a way you can remove the failure. We still have to do that. See, you don't have to fail. Even when you get it wrong, you can still get it better. Oh, I love that. There's no failure in God. Sometimes even in your failure, you can become a success. For instance, take a look. David failed with Bathsheba. Am I right? I mean, that was a bad failure. I'm not sure you agree with me now. That's a bad failure. But you know what? That's where Solomon came from. The wisest person came from the failure of David. So don't ever, I want you to see that. Please don't, I failed. People become spiritually lazy and backslid. I failed God. No. God will never say, you have failed me and I'm going to dispose you of. No.
Pastor, if you hear a voice that says that you are Judas, what are you going to do about that?
Thank you. Even if you hear a voice that says you are Judas. But are you Judas? Someone said, Judas. Judas walked away. He never came back. Jesus didn't send him away. Judas walked away. Are you going to walk away? Answer me. Are you going to walk away? Hallelujah. Praise God. So tell yourself, I don't have to fail. Even when I fail, I can still succeed. That failure will fail. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody asked me years ago, he said, Pastor, how do I walk perfectly in the spirit? Listen to this. You help me so much. He said, how do I walk perfectly without any mistake in the spirit? I said, very easy. 1 John 1 verse 9 is part of walking perfectly in the spirit. If you confess our sins. You didn't hear that? Even when you sin, just confess your sin. It's faithful and just. He'll cleanse you and forgive you and we can move on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your past doesn't have to hold you. Your failure doesn't have to hold you. Jesus met a woman that had failed 5 times in marriage and the 6th one is already failing. And Christ said, look here, you are my candidate to change the city. So don't ever write yourself off for failing. Even if you have failed in all these 3 things I've given, you can always, the greatest power in the Bible is the power of rising. If you can rise up, you can get through. And that's why they call you an overcomer. You always come over. Praise God, somebody. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Hallelujah. You always come over. So let's have that in mind. When you fail, don't take it as, oh no. You are free from failure. You can change that thing. You can make it, you can turn it around. Say that to yourself, I can turn things around. Tell yourself again, I can turn things around. If they are good, I can make them better. And if they are bad, I can make them good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. My household knows this. When things start going wrong, I start getting better. Ooh, I just bring out all my best. Bring out all my fangs. I don't know where I was talking recently. I was talking, okay, it was on Saturday. I said, Bible says, be wise as serpent. During business breakfast. Bible says, be wise as serpent. You see, if you see serpent, Jesus used that word serpent for us. Can you imagine? Be wise as serpent. I said, serpent has three things in their life, in that creature's life. 3 things. I give them 2. I'm going to say, please tell us the last one. So I'll tell you 2. See, if you see a serpent, like I told you, if you see serpent, their eyes are not like this at the front. Their eyes are like this. That means 180, 180, 360 degree. The serpent will look well. Like I told you, look well. Get things sorted out. See your way through. Know this is a narrow way. Don't take it the other way. But serpent also knows this. That they must never become rigid. So serpent bends. Have you seen their body? It just slit like that, can go through anything. Have you seen them? The way they glide is so beautiful. Go catch one to put in your house. The gliding power is amazing. It's like jets, you know, like those jets. The way they move just like that. Okay, go watch it on Nigeria World, all right? Or go to your phone and press Google. I want to see snakes sliding and then put video or something and just watch them. They can glide through anything. It's like their world. Crack like that, they move through it. But you know what? Sometimes the eyes and the body may feel snake and it's caught. What does it do? It takes up its head like that and gets its fangs ready. Fangs. He's going to open his mouth. And you know what? In anything you find yourself, if you can open your mouth, you'll come out. You hear what I just said? If you open your mouth, even if you are trapped, just do like prodigal son. Father, I have sinned against everyone. I'm going home. Is that all right? Am I making some sense? So failure must never be taken as final for you. Even if you kill Jesus, you can come back, day of Pentecost, and get saved. And the Father will receive you. Jesus told them, said, you killed Jesus. And they repented. 3,000 God that day accepted to his house. Amen? Are we here? Are we here? Am I making some sense? Now, let me deal with something. This is important. Now, sometimes when you start failing in certain areas of life, don't start getting too emotional. Don't start getting through, I wonder. No, that will hinder you. But I wish I have time to do this very well. You know, people just fail suddenly or something happened to them and they start just kind of banging themselves, calling themselves all kinds of names and feeling down and feeling oppressed and feeling, you know, what people say. The Lord will help us with that. But let's clarify this first. Let's go back to how to handle things so you won't fail. How to handle things so you won't fail. All right. I told you about three parts of everything you do. What's the first one? The starting point, the process, and what? The end results, the products. But the reason why you go there is the purpose. Why are you planning to get married? Why do you want to open this business? Why do you want to travel? Why do you want to buy that? Why do you want to sell that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, let's go. Let's look at our Bible. Romans 11. How to prevent failure. Okay, there are several parts of this. How to prevent failure. Then we see how to cure failure when it occurs. But how do you prevent failure in whatever you are doing? Now, nobody is perfect. But Bible says we should be aiming for perfection. You need to buy that first. You see, don't just only be on the side of the cure. Are we here, everybody? I said, are we here, everybody? If you are going to prevent failure, let me give you the mindset you must have. What is the mindset that will prevent you from failing? See, we are going to one time or the other fail. But it's better we prevent it than just going through it a lot of time. Am I making some sense? All right. Let me show you. Don't talk like this to yourself any longer. You know, it doesn't matter. It's just normal. We fail now. Start thinking like this. Go to your Bible. Look at verse 48, Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 48. Therefore, you shall be what? Take a look at this verse. Therefore, you shall be what? Just as your Father in heaven. This is a very confusing verse. Let's look at Message Bible and amplify it quickly. Message Bible. In a word, what I'm saying is this. Grow up. Now, you are kingdom subjects. Now, live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives toward you. You may say, he just said be perfect. See, in the original language, there are shades and meaning to what are perfect. Let's look at it in Bible Amplified. Quickly, give us Amplified Bible. Be perfect. You therefore must be. What? Now, read what's in the bracket. Let's go. Read what's in the bracket. Let's go now. Growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity. Now, let me show you by that. You see, when a child comes, can you ever look up here? Ever look this way? When a child comes over here, a child, small child, it has tendency to fall off taking this. Am I correct? In fact, you have to just be waiting around that kid because you never know what will happen next. Am I correct? But an adult, you don't do that. Now, does it mean the adult is perfect? No. But it's mature. So that word perfect also means maturity. Is that clear? See, God is God. We are creatures. We can't match him. But if he's our Father, we can grow up to him. You make that sense? Every child grows to maturity to become like those who give back to them. Am I right? So you must start thinking like that God, I want to be like you as my heavenly Father and be perfect as your Father. Not as God. God, nobody can reach that. But as your Father, the kind of virtue, the kind of integrity, you walk toward that in your life. So you start doing things like your dad will do it, that will prevent failure because he never fails. Am I correct? Now, that does not mean you become it overnight. It's a gradual thing. That's 3-year-old, that's 7-year-old, that's 10-year-old, that's 11-year-old, that's 15-year-old, that's 21 years old, 35 years old, that's 45, 50 years old, standing by the father, becoming a person just like him. But they are all going through that stages. So number one, if you are going to prevent failure, have the mindset to do things perfectly like your father would do it. That's why the prayer is important. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pastor, what are you saying in essence? I'm saying that if you are going to prevent failure, find out what the will of God is. That has no failure in it. Don't find out what you want, just want to do, or what you want to have. Find out what is the will of, what will the father do? For instance, a child will stumble around here, but an adult will walk briskly and come down. Am I making some sense here? So, if I'm going to prevent failure, what will not fail is not in my sakane. Heard that before? What will not fail is not within my own view, but it's in the view of my father's will. So, when you commit yourself to the will of God in a matter, when you want to do what God would like you to do there, that prevents failure a lot. Something happened to me this morning. I can tell you this in almost all of my life. Now, I got several Bibles I'm reading. I got Bibles I read. I have all kinds of Bibles. I just bought another one I'm reading. So I just finished reading a particular part somewhere in another Bible. They have another Bible I just bought that I want to read with it. I hope you are listening. Now, I was reading Deuteronomy in one. I'm reading Matthew in one. And I'm reading another place in Epistles. So I opened Romans, and I knew in my heart, because before I began to read, I asked myself, which Bible version should I read that will make the best work for me? I backed off from, before opening the Bible, I dealt with that first. What is the best? I just read this one, from that one. Which, you may say, Pastor, that doesn't matter at all. But for me, it matters because I don't want to fail. And so I got to this part of Epistle I want to read, and I started asking myself, which Bible should I read? And I zero on this Bible. On my tablet, it's called Logos Bible, particular Bible over there. It's called Bekele version. So, I know that I should read that, but it was difficult to read because it's not that my best typeface and font size and kind of a thing. I hope you are here. Simple as that. But I started reading it and I plan to abandon it because I didn't like it. I want to have that easy. I want to read. Oh, easy. So, I began to read through it, and I was thinking of abandoning it, and I stopped, and I asked myself inside, should I change? I just said, if you want to, but the better is to read that one. You hear what I just said? I read that from inside. Yes, I said, I could change, I'll do something, but I just said, no, if you stay with this one, it's better. You know how I know it's better? Because it's not following what I want. You hear what I just said? So, and I pick up the Bible, and just few reading down, I noticed what I could do with that Bible I couldn't do anywhere else. Amazing. And then, what I was battling with that I thought it won't work, I changed a particular thing in that background, it just became better.
Pastor, I don't understand what you are talking about.
Ctrl-Alt-Delete. Not delete. You know, a lot of things I do. I was hearing somebody today. I was coming to church. My wife was telling me, this person just got a job. And they said, certain material must be submitted for that job. And they couldn't get it. It would take weeks. And they said, job no longer available. So, you know what? That's where you need to know how to prevent failure now. So he went to pray. He said, as he was praying, he just saw that something he gave somewhere else could be useful at this moment to give out over there. You know what he did? He just woke up from the prayer. No, just got up from the prayer and he said, let's get that one out. Can we find it? They got it. Sent it to that company. They said, zip. Okay, please start work. See that? He could have just gone back and just lie down and say, it won't work anymore. No, as you take time to just do that, And you know what? My time is about to finish. But something I'm referring to since is who you are on the inside. I trace that and trace that and trace that to your inside. To your inside. So you must learn how to work from inside. To not fail. Your inside is in agreement with your Father in heaven. Your outside is in agreement with the world around you. So you need to develop your inside. So we are going to go to our reading now. Training. Remember we started last week, how to train the human spirit. Before we read, let's go to John 12. Or John 11. Glory to Jesus. Also, so you know where we stop today. Becoming as mature, remember? That is training your inside to become like your Father. So failure rate will decrease. What I say we should open to? I didn't hear you. John 11. Let's read it. Hallelujah. Come and see. Verse 5. We just read before we read the book again. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. I thought he loved him. If you have somebody you love is sick, what do? You take the bus yesterday. Am I right? But he stayed back 2 more days. Let's keep reading. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. Let's go to where we came out of that time. What is the next? Disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again? See, they've already equated that if they want to stone you last time, don't go back there. But Christ said, let's go back there. Look at next verse. He answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not what? Because he can see the light. Now look at next verse. Fantastic. If one walks in the night, what does he do? He stumbles because the light is not where. I didn't hear your voice. It's not where. Now, your spirit is that light bearer. Your inside. If you stumble a lot, it's because that inner man does not have enough light. So, we must learn how to train our inside to carry the light. Training your inside to become as perfect as your Father will reduce your failure rates. And we start learning how to train our human spirit. Staff, Kemi, are you ready? Let's clap for as it comes up. Okay, we saw 4 ways of doing that. What's the first one we saw? What is it? Meditate in the word of God. If you are going to train your human spirit, 2, by practicing the word of God. We stopped about Philippians 4 last. So we are going to go to 3 today. We want to jump other examples. So we are going to, by giving the word, 4 of them. What's the first one? Meditate. 2, practice. 3. Okay. Balumi, are we ready? Thank you very much. Okay, let me help you put it on. Okay. All right. This will be on now.
Good evening, church. 3, give the word first place. The training, the developing, the educating of our spirit comes by giving the word of God first place in our lives. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. God says in this passage, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in your heart. There are rich dividends for doing this. Why is it that God tells us to put his word first? and to listen to what he has to say, to keep looking at his word, and to keep his word in our hearts. It is because they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The margin of King James says the word translated health is the Hebrew word for medicine. God's word is medicine to all their flesh. There is healing in the word. In the 12 years I pastored, there were church members who would get sick, go to the hospital, and then ask for prayer. I'm not saying it is wrong to have a doctor. Certainly not. We believe in hospitals and doctors. Thank God for them. But I'm saying, why not put God's word first? Sometimes, as a last resort, Christians will turn to the word. A Baptist minister who didn't even particularly believe in divine healing at the time told of how he had problems with his tonsils. His doctor kept insisting that they be removed. So the date was finally set for his tonsils to be removed. It was his family's custom to read the Bible and pray together each morning before the children went to school. So the date was finally set for his tonsils to be removed. It was his family custom to read the Bible and pray together each morning before the children went to school. The next one. On the very day this minister was scheduled to enter the hospital, this family's daily scripture passage was the one which tells of King Asa, who got a disease in his feet, and instead of seeking the Lord, he sought physicians and he died. 2 Chronicles 16:12-13. The minister said he was struck by this. He realized that he had not even prayed about his tonsils. He shared this with his wife and children and asked that they pray together about his tonsils. When they prayed, the Lord told him not to have them removed. To his astonishment, the Lord healed the tonsils and he has had no more trouble with them. There is a lesson to be learned here. The Bible does not imply that King Asa died because he put the physicians first. However, it does imply that he should have put the Lord first. We should train ourselves to put God first. We should train ourselves to ask ourselves concerning any matter, what does God's words have to say about this? We should ask ourselves what God has to say about anything that may come up in our life, and then put that word first. Sometimes family and friends will try to rush you into things, but you need to think about what the word of God says. Put God's word first in every area of life. 4. Instantly obey the voice of your spirit. The human spirit has a voice. We call that voice conscience. Sometimes we call it intuition, an inner voice, a guidance. The world calls it a hunch, but what it is your spirit speaking to you. Every man's spirit, saved or unsaved, has a voice. The human spirit, as we have seen in previous chapters, is a spiritual man, a spirit man, an inward hidden man. He is hidden to the physical senses. You cannot see him with the physical eyes, nor touch him with your physical hands. This is the man who has become a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When a man is born again, his spirit becomes a new spirit. God prophesied through both Ezekiel and Jeremiah that a time will come when he will take the old stony heart out of men and put in a new one. He said that he would put his spirit into us. Under the new covenant, this new birth became available. The new birth is a rebirth of the human spirit. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Everything that was old in his spirit, the old nature, is taken away, and all things have become new. As you give this newborn spirit the privilege of meditating on the Word of God, the Word becomes the source of its information. Your spirit will become strong, and the inward voice of your conscience, educated in the Spirit, will become a true guide. Did you notice that meditation in the Word, practicing the Word, giving the Word first place, all come before obeying your spirit? You see, if your spirit has had the privilege of meditating in the Word, or practicing the Word, of putting the Word first, then your spirit is an authoritative guide. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Proverbs 20:27. Your newborn spirit has within it the life and nature of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within your spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. The Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. God has to communicate with you through your spirit because that is where he is. Your spirit gets its information through him. Learn to obey the voice of your spirit. If you are not accustomed to doing that, of course, you will not get there quickly. As we have said, your spirit can be built up and strengthened just as your body can be built up and strengthened. Your spirit can be educated just as your mind can be educated. But just as you did not begin school in the first grade 1 week and graduate from the 12th grade the next week, your spirit will not be educated and trained overnight. However, if you will follow these 4 points and practice them, after a while, you can know the will of God the Father, even in the minor details of life. You will receive guidance and will always instantly get either a yes or a no. You will know in your spirit what you should do in all the affairs of life.
Thank you. Okay, you know what we're going to do next? Now, you can go. Thank you. Yes. Just a minute. Let me put this down. This is really beautiful. It's becoming quite clear now that it's not that so difficult after all. I believe in working this out, you know. I don't want to just depend on flashes of dreams, revelation, and prophecies. That's all good. But I need to have a sure, steady way of working. And that sure, steady way of working is developing your inside. God even plans that you will interpret dreams, revelations, and prophecies in your life by the inward person. That's why sometimes we have dreams, revelations, prophecies, and they are not clear to us because we have not yet understood inside. For instance, when I walk into the class of calculus as a person, calculus is a part of mathematics, because I've not been informed about it, so whatever they are saying sounds gibberish to me. So sometimes as a believer, when you don't grow your inside, even when you have a vision or a revelation or a flash of inspiration, you may not handle it well because you have not been trained on the inside. That's why training our inside is so vital. It's like your senses in the physical that you use. If your eyes are not seeing well and your ears are not hearing well, even the world around you, you can't interpret them very well. For instance, if something is far from you and you are seeing it as if it's near you, there's going to be some accident. Am I right? So that's why this is important. Don't forget those 4 things. Remember where I was coming from. To be free from failure, you must understand, knowing that Christ Jesus' ways are important. For instance, he said, when the crowd are going this way, don't go that way. Why? They are not following their hearts. Your heart is like your fingerprint. It's peculiar to you. Praise God. Say that with me. My heart is like my fingerprint. It's peculiar to me. All right. So we said also, beware of false prophet. And then we say, build on the words of Jesus. The best food for your spirit is the words of Jesus himself. He said, my words are spirit and life. Is that all right? Now, please, let's go again one more time. You need to feed on the best food. There are different kinds of food in the Bible. Listen to me. If you are going to feed your spirit requires very, very particular food, particularly in New Testament. Is the best way to feed that new creature. The Old Testament is not the best food for the new man. You can see that already. Yes, there will be promises and prophecies under the old, but they won't find fulfillment until the new. You can just see that now. That makes me make it clear. New Testament will feed the new man well. Is that all right? And the reason why we don't like news because it involves chewing. You see, it's very easy to just read those verses, prophecies and promises and those stories. They are easy to just manipulate and walk around. Let me give an example. Look at our country. You see pastors and ministers, they come and say, the Bible said something about Old Testament prophecy, something, and they have been given those things, it never came to pass in Nigeria. Have you ever wondered? Why? They are speaking from old point of view. Like in the old too, they spoke and they wonder how it will come to pass. But when Jesus came, he gave us the path to get there. For instance now, no matter the prophecy you see and that you hear about Nigeria, it will never be fulfilled until you come through the way of 1 Timothy 2 in the New Testament. Come and see 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. This is what he says you should do. Take a look. Therefore, I exhort, this is the food now for the new man. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and giving of thanks be made for all men, next verse, for kings and for those who are in authority, that we may lead. So he never said, start with prophecy. Start with dreaming about Nigeria. See them on papers. They're talking about that, talking about there'll be no election. That's not where to start from. This would be if they are New Testament ministers, they should come up and tell us, first of all, to pray this. If we do this, first of all, as a people of New Testament in Nigeria, we will see this, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. You got that? Am I making some sense? Okay. Now, you can go to Old Testament and see Abraham prospering. You can see David having vast wealth. But you will not realize that for your own life until you come to New Testament and Jesus said, give shall be given unto you, good measure, presence, shake it together, running over. Then you go to the epistles and see how to give properly. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You sit down with that and chew that. When you chew that, you will have the nourishment to live an abundant life, financially speaking. Am I making some sense? So you spend time with that. You can spend time with promises. Promises, you will never realize the promises until you feed your spirit. Hallelujah. For instance, start watching Jesus than watching anybody else. Start watching Jesus and the apostles than anybody else. For instance, last Sunday, somebody asked a question, a doctor in the third service stood up there. He said, Reverend, and I understand that. And she said, you know, Reverend, can I ask you a question? I want to be honest too. Churches today, people are sick. We pray, we don't see anything. We pray, we don't see anything. We got to say, but you know, we just, remember, and by, incidentally, the father of the young lady was in church that day, just to come and see her. And then she asked the question, say, doctor, I'll go to the hospital. Do you know, I started asking myself, not just what we are doing, remember again now, don't go with the crowd. Go with Jesus. And to my surprise, I never see Jesus praying for people. See, that is a contrast. I told her, I said, you will not see Jesus organizing prayer rally for those who are sick. And second, you will not see Jesus going to the hospital to minister to people. There were, in his own days, hospitals too. But he didn't go to the hospital. They came to him. Nobody brought prayer for anybody to Jesus. It was somebody who was sick. If you find it, let me know. Rather, they will, if they are friends of the person, they will carry the person to Jesus' presence and left him there. You should be thinking. And then you will never see any adult come to Jesus for another adult to get their healing. You won't see it. Rather, they bring the person to Jesus. Man, I was deaf, I meet Jesus. And they will leave. Can you imagine? They brought their friend, drop them before Jesus, and Jesus and you sort it out. Then, and I saw this. Jesus saw the woman of the issue of blood. We read this in the Bible. He said, your faith has made you whole. As Christ finished with her, went to the house of Jairus. As he was leaving Jairus' house, two blind men followed him. They followed him, followed him. Now, just imagine, who should have sent somebody to Jesus? They couldn't see, but they came themselves. Not somebody coming for them and praying. Now, I've had my own surprise. People like this, we are praying for them, they want to go to heaven. They've already made all their plans. And they're busy praying. And then you know, Father, God didn't answer prayer. No, you are not the one sick. He said, your faith, not their prayer, your faith has made you well. Then those two blind men, he said to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. He said, according to your faith. Now, how many ministers do you hear talking like that? By the way, how many of our ministers are talking like that today? So they're not actually following the ministry of Jesus, they are following whatever is prevalent in the air. That's why we are failing. Oh, back to failure again. We will never do well and prevent failure until we go to Jesus alone. A lot of times, they copy Elijah and Elisha. That's their dream ministers. Huh? But we supposed to follow Jesus. He was the one who made healing available for everyone. Those people like Elisha and Elijah gave it to one or two people around them. How many lepers came to Elisha? How many lepers came to Elisha? Who can tell me? How many lepers came to Elisha? Only one, Naaman. Correct? How many women that the food was multiplied? One person. Correct? Huh? So you can see now, if you go that route, you get only one. So that's why we sing in church. Jesus may touch someone today. It may be you, it may be me. That's not Jesus. That's Elijah. Christ healed all. You know what we're thinking? So I said this. I'm running up now. I said this. He said, your faith has made you whole, right? If your faith has made you whole, we better measure on what that faith is. Because if our wholeness is in faith, and how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know what? Faith does not come by prayer. You can pray, that's right, but faith comes by hearing. Then I told them this on Sunday. I said, you know what? It is more difficult to get people to get healed in their spirit. You know why? Because they can see around them people who are dying. They can see around them things are going to work. So if you are going to be well, before you get sick, you should be hearing the word of God. Or when you are sick, you'll be hearing more of the word of God. Because your faith will make you well. And faith comes by hearing. So you're not hearing anything? Pronto. Am I making some sense? You see, when I talk like this, people say, who are you? Who are you to question our elder's tradition? That sounds like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Right? That means I'm sounding like Jesus. you know, Jesus. For instance, how many people hear this? I'm going to be honest with you now. Look at the area of finances. I prophesy that you all rise up and become great in life. Jesus never did anything like that. You become great. He said, well, I want to be great among you. Let him become a servant. Right? He gave us the way to get there. But we are doing that. You'll be all great this year. Your greatness will manifest. Your family will see it. Amen. Oh, we jump, shout. You see, who's giving us what? Who's talking? Jesus or them? I'm not trying to make anything out of this. Who is your Savior? Yeah, can I hear your voice? Who's your Savior? Who says to follow me? Thank you. So let's let him develop our spirit and train ourselves after him. Am I making some sense? So start feeding your spirit with the words of Jesus. Start taking that word serious. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. For instance, Christ said to Peter, throw your net there, you'll have a fish. As a business person, tell yourself, I will hear Jesus to promote my business. Hallelujah. Anybody else can talk, but when Christ speaks, it happens. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's finally talk about this. He said, that man, can you take it? Put the word to meditate first. Remember, about four things to do to develop your spirit. What's the first one there? Meditate. Even the Old Testament bears witness to that. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4 verse 15 to show us that when we meditate, we can really, really develop our spirit. 1 Timothy 4, give us in King James verse 15. Okay. Meditate on these things. What is it next? Give yourself wholly to them. That what? I mean, I want to profit with your life. So what is it you should do? Meditate first. I said to you that anything you want to do, start with the right thing first. A good tree cannot bear bad fruits. Give us an NKJV. Thank you. What do you say? Meditate upon this thing. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress... Notice, it ties to meditate with progress. So if you are not making progress, what should we do? Let's start meditating. That means gather the words of Jesus and promise of God, both in the old and the new promises, and then start looking at them and start thinking about them and start speaking it to yourself. Next thing you know, you start seeing what to do. My wife and I, I can tell you stories. I just don't do that in church. Things don't work like this. Things are not working like this. I just stop. I just start meditating. I just see what to do next. Remember last Sunday? You know, I need to give you an example of that. Maybe I'll just tell you now. You know, we announced on Sunday that somebody gave us money for food. And then we didn't, you know, see the money until after. And then we got the money. And I came to announce in church that if you are the one who gave us the money, we want to return it to you. He said, what's wrong with pastor? You are spending the money now. No, you have to follow the truth in your spirit. So we announced, we put it on platform, nobody answered. On Sunday morning, first service, nobody answered. Second service, the guy walked up to my wife and said, look here, I'm the person. I said, let's go to my office. So I sat down in my office and I said, thank you very much. We want to return the money to you. He said, no, pastor, use it for anything. Used for anything in church. I said, okay, we are doing building at the back. Use the money for that. I said, no problem. And I walked off. But my inside was just still going on like that. Just going on. I listen inside almost all the time. When I'm talking like this, I'm listening inside. And so I said that to him, and I walked off. And I got home after church, busy in church. And I got home as I was walking around in the house. After telling him that, I just had in my spirit, that money should be used for that one because that other one is already being used. So you got something you have to do with your, that's not yet complete with your solar, go after that one. Now, he said, instantly obey the voice of your spirit. Now, I was back from church. I should be on my bed resting. I pick up my phone, call Brabola, this, and I calculated the money. The money came to almost the same amount. I said to my wife, thank God we didn't see the money. We'll have eaten with it and forget it. It's amazing. We calculated the money. Actually, let me say. So we got it. It was over by around 65,000 naira. If you remember that we sent to you. And then they called me back today and said, no, it's actually, man, it was 50 again. I said, no, don't worry about it. It was nothing else. You know, it's amazing. When you start from that, start like that, you just see what to do. It can be very great. And as you develop this, it becomes part and parcel of you. Even your prayer life, you know what to pray. It can be so powerful. Now, let me close like this. One of the things you have to fight against is worry. Worry will cripple your spirit. Anxiety, see, when you start, your inside just gets shut down. Hallelujah. Recently, I was somewhere, I was giving a particular news, and I was already fidgeting. And I had, it won't work, you fidget, it won't work. So I had to go back to Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. I said, dear, let's pray. We start praying. Right. Now, if I pray, that second part, the first part, don't worry. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, I'm a child of God. I'm a winner in life. My father does not fail, and I'm following my father. Failure, you are not my portion. Failure, you're not my master. I will not fail. I'll succeed. In the midst of failure, I will rise successful in the name of Jesus. Now, take this verse. I just saw this verse in my spirit now. Take this verse. Listen. This verse will bless you now. It said, 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 where? But it won't come near you. See failure like that. Hallelujah. 1,000 may fail and fall. And right, 10,000 will fall. Tell yourself, failure is not coming near me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, failure is not coming near me. No. Failure is not coming near me. Open your mouth and say that to yourself. 1,000 may fail and fall around me. And my right hand, 10,000 may fall and fail. But it will not come near me. It will not come near me. I'm shielded from failing because I'm following Jesus. I'm shielded from failure. After failure, I rebuke you. I resist you. I renounce you. I don't belong to you. You don't belong to me. I'm not failing in life. Even by failure, I'm seeing success. God is turning things around. By my faith, I overcome. By my faith, I take care of things. By my faith, I'm a conqueror. Even more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. 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 Words like this do two things to you. They go inside of you and they go around you. They go inside of you to buttress your spirit and they go around you to muzzle the atmosphere. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I saw those words like that. Some of them are instant. Some of them are progressive. Some words you speak, they are instant. Like killing mosquito. Bam! It's on the floor. Some other ones, they are progressive. They work like freezer. They work like freezer. It gets colder like that. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, either way, my words are working. My words are working. And I'm saying I'm prospering in everything I do. Because I've chosen to meditate. I've chosen to meditate. Failure is not my own portion in the name of Jesus. Whatever I do is prospering. Whatsoever I do is prospering. Whatsoever I do is, say that again to yourself. Whatsoever I do is prospering. When I'm thinking, I'm prospering. When I'm praying, I'm prospering. When I'm fasting, I'm prospering. When I'm talking, I'm prospering. When I'm walking, I'm prospering. Whatsoever I do prospers. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give our offering. You know, I was telling my wife something. When they said we should bring all our money, I said, leave that one there. He said, yeah. I said, at worst, the truth will just bring. Now that money is useful now. Hallelujah. Always know this. The world system will fail. It may not fail immediately. They may fail one way or the other. Hallelujah. But love never fails. Praise God. Amen. Don't worry about this country. We are going to survive it and pass through. Baba, 10 years ago, we passed through. We are here. We passed through Yaradua, Toku. We passed through. We are going to pass through this one too. I just go and increase more and more in Jesus' name. Remember, years ago, you are not like this. At least you have gotten bigger and getting smarter. Hallelujah. It's going to get better and better. The path of the righteous shines what? Brighter. Unto what? Unto the perfect day. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, that one is describing me. The new creature. I'm in the light. I'm the light of the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give our offering. Father, we thank you. We bless you today. Let's be praying as we are giving. If you don't have any money to give, no problem. You don't have any cash to give, no problem at all. Hallelujah. Give your words. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's just keep on praying. Come on, pray. Pray peace for yourself, prosperity all through this month. It's a critical month for our country. Thank you, Father, for peace in our lives, in our country. Thank you for your joy around us. Thank you that we are established in your provision. No matter what's happening for our policies in our country, we are established in your provision. You will take care of us. You will take care of us. You said we should not worry, that we should cast all our cares on you. Tell the Lord, I'm casting my cares on you right now. I'm casting my cares on you. Fear, failure, whatever, I cast all my cares on you because I know you care for me. I know you are taking care of me. I know you are watching over me and you are telling me what to do. Give you glory. Give you honor. Hallelujah. 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 I said hallelujah. Now, look up here as I round up. You know, that's why I love to pray. Please look up, look up, look up. Can I help you? You see, look up here, everybody. I want to help you. Follow the nudge of your inside. Follow that thing inside. You see, if you are going there, please listen. Everybody listen. If you are going to that fan over there, if you follow your mind, it tells you go like this because you can see it. You go like that. You go like that. Now, it's because you can see the way clear, nothing before you. But if it is life, you can't see tomorrow, can you? So, you just can't go like that. The only way is the way of the Lord, Jesus. He said, I'm the way. So, follow the nudge. Sometimes you go like this. It will take you this way. It will take you that way. It will take you this way. It will take you that way. And you wonder, but this is where I'm going. Now, listen to me. Can I close with this? Sometimes what you are looking for there is not ready. All that your journey makes it ready. Are you hearing me? God told, let me give it to you so I can close with that. Genesis 15. Hallelujah. Come and see. God will take you through all that journey to make it ready and to make you ready for you to enjoy it too. Genesis 15, are we there? Take a look at this. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. That's why I love to pray. Take a look. Mm-hmm. Come and see. This is a very strange prophecy to Abraham. Verse 12. Genesis 15, verse 12. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Next verse. Quickly, be with me. Now, we are finishing now. He said to Abraham, no, please follow. Know certainly that your descendant will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. Interesting. And will serve them there. And they will afflict them 400 years. God told Abraham years before that they're going to go to Egypt. But follow the reason why. Why are they going there? Not to Canaan land. Look at this verse. And also, this woman they will serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. They come out rich at the end of the day. Though they serve them. Now, the reason why. Next verse. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Let's keep reading. Keep on, keep on. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here. For the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. God is saying, 400 years I'm taking other place. Those people, it's not yet time for me to deal with them totally so I can remove them. Like I told you again, it may take God time to put that thing there for you. If they had gone the week after, this is not yet ready for them. So he said, when they get their sin fulfilled, and I know I need to deal with them and get them out, I'll move you in. But meanwhile, I'll move you around. Praise God, somebody. Is that all right? Sometimes you go through things that you think it doesn't have any sense with your life. Like Joseph, he went to Potiphar's house, handled abundance, went to prison, handled starvation. Why? Because 7 years of plenty, 7 years of abundance, and 7 years of struggle. Remember that? So please tell yourself, I surrender myself to the Lord's way with my life. Tell yourself, I surrender myself to the way of the Lord. Satan, I refuse to submit to you. Satan, I refuse your ploys. I refuse your ploys and your plots to push me away from what God has for me. I stay on the path. I stay on the way and I'm doing well. Better and better shall my conditions be. Better and better shall my affairs be because the Lord is with me. On this journey, I'm not alone. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Let's go home. Get up on your feet. Thank you for coming to church. I thought nobody would come. I'll teach online alone. But thank you for being the brave souls to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.